Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto me, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Hallelujah. Amen. In this passage of the scripture we read, you see God telling Moses, you know, the Bible was talking about Moses in verse 11. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. The Lord spake to Moses face to face. And we're trying to tell ourselves then that, you know, this dimension of God communicating to Moses face to face was something that, you know, was typical of the activities of the Most Holy Place, which we saw that was called the place of the oracle. That the Most Holy Place is called the place of the oracle, and Moses had a level of relationship with God that caused God to communicate with him according to God's own description. God says, I speak to Moses face to face. But you also see in the same chapter that God communicating with Moses face to face did not also mean that Moses saw the face of God. Hallelujah. That Moses, even though God said Moses spoke to him face to face, Moses did not see God's face. Why do we say that? Because Moses, Moses, he prayed. He said, God, show me your way. I want to know you. And then he said, show me your glory. And then in verse 20, and he said, thou cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So in other words, when God said that he communicated with Moses face to face, God was actually talking in a parabolic way. You know, that it was not as though God was communicating to Moses and Moses was able to see the face of God, because God declined on Moses seeing his face. Moses asked for his glory and God said, you can't see my face. No man can see my face and yet live. So we understood that what God was saying is different from, so you know, we can say Moses, God spoke with Moses face to face, and then meaning that Moses has come to the fullness of all, because listen, the end of all this journey is actually seeing God's face. That is the peak of our spiritual experience. That is the peak of our spiritual experience. Is that not what John said? John said that in 1 John chapter 3. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. Give us from verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Yes. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hello? We shall do what? We shall see him as what? As he is. Even though Moses communicated with God face to face, Moses did not come into this dimension. Moses did not see the face of God. Let's look at, still talking along the same thing, Numbers chapter 12. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 from verse 5. Numbers 12 from verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and the boat came forth, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Here God says, he said, I speak to Moses, mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. Not in visions. If there's a prophet, I will speak to him in a vision. I will come in a dream. And that, like we have seen, that most of these prophetic experiences are actually parabolical. They are things that they come in parables. You hardly see visions. Most visions are unclear. Most dreams are in parables. And most of the time, they require interpretation. Amen. And that is why it is not advisable that you just jump, into, as in having a vision or having a dream. Those things must be handled with caution. Amen. It should be handled with caution and with a lot of maturity. Some people say, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. That it takes the mature to be able to handle dreams. Amen. It takes a level of maturity to be able to handle dreams. Because the truth is, there are many problems that have occurred that happened because somebody had a dream or somebody had a vision that was poorly or that was misconstrued. Gave it the right interpretation, and that was clearly different from what God wanted to achieve. So God said, I don't communicate with Moses on the level of visions, on the level of dreams. I come to Moses, speak mouth to mouth. And then we're trying to teach ourselves, so what does God mean by mouth to mouth or face to face? Now, Exodus 33, he said, God speak to Moses face to face, as a man speak with what? With his friend. Let's go to the book of John. John Hallelujah. Sorry. Where is that portion of the scripture where Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was telling them by speaking to them as friends and not as servants? Can you help me find that scripture? Huh? Jesus was talking to them. He said, I speak no longer to you as servants. John 15. Yes. John 15 verse 14. Let's take it. John 15 from verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Can you see that? He said, I'm not calling you servant. He said, because the servants do not know what his master is doing. Now, that it doesn't mean that they are not just aware. It means that they cannot comprehend. Hello?
Do you know that things can be happening right in your face and you don't know what is happening? Why? Because it's all shrouded. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, I call you not. Wait. Are they not the servants that carry out the biddings? Can the master do anything without the servants? Hello? Angels minister for us. Yet they are not permitted to look into what they bring. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know the New Testament, we cannot undo the New Testament without the ministry of angels. It is not possible. By ordination, angels must be a part of it. From the beginning, I think that was one of the things we also learned. From the beginning, it has always been like that. The Bible says that God came to Adam in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And I told us that it was in the what? In the ruach. That word ruach is the wind. It talks about the cool of the day. And what does that mean? It means a day that is free from the scorches of the sun. That's what the Bible calls shadow. Hello? And who are the people that create shadow for God? It's cherubims. Let me calm down so that I won't lose anybody. I don't want to go back to the things I taught. I just want to do a summary. So I don't want it to be like, anyway, that is not, I don't think that is even an issue. If we have to say something 5 times for us to understand it, then I think it is better for us to say it 5 times so that we understand. And not just say many things that people cannot have a grasp of. Amen. What am I saying? Now, you understand that the place occurs from the things we learn, and when you read the scripture, you describe that the place of the oracle itself is the most holy place. The thought, you know, after the outer court, you move into the holy place, then you move into the most holy place. Now, the truth is, these things we should be very much aware of. We're not just saying these things because we just have to say them. No. God gave them to us because they are supposed, all of those things are shadows, and they are things that describe for us realities in God. You hear that there is a tabernacle in heaven. You know, talk about the true tabernacle. Moses said he built according to the things that were shown him on the mount. So that means that he saw things and then he only came and replicated them here, but using earthly materials. So there is a reality beyond that. But if we don't understand this, we may not be able to undo and relate with those realities. So we saw that in the tabernacle of Moses, in the temple of Moses, he had the most holy place, how they built it. After the, you know, there was the ark, then the ark was covered with the atonement cover, which is the mercy seat. And beside at the two sides of the mercy seat, you see angels with their wings spread out. The Bible said they overshadow the mercy seat, meaning they create a covering. I mean, they create a covering, and God speaks from that hollow. It is from that hollow that the voice of God comes from. It is from that, under the shadow, on top of the mercy seat, that's where God speaks from. Meaning that atonement, coupled with angelic ministry, is going to provide the place for the speakings of God to come. That's all that God was, even before man fell, it was like that. God came to Adam in the cool of the day. You hear that when God wants to move, the cherubims move first. You know, when you read Ezekiel, you see all of these things there. What am I saying in essence is that the New Testament in its reality, we can't do well if angels are not involved in what we are doing. And I'm not talking about angel, what are those angels? Angel Fatah, those. I'm not Uriel. I'm not talking of those ones, I beg. I'm not talking of Malaika. We are not talking about Malaika here. Hallelujah. Funny enough, I think they got that word from either Hebrew or Greek. Because it's actually that word is actually the angel. I think it's either Hebrew or Greek. One of the two. So they picked that from the Bible. Amen. But we're not talking about those kind of malaika and all those things. We are talking about Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, I think the last verse. Verse 13. Let's take 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Yes. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of what? Of salvation. Salvation means I'm free as God is free. That's what it simply means. That I've inherited his nature and I'm as immune as God is immune. But no other being has that privilege. Even though the angels are to minister for us, who shall be heirs of salvation, they don't even have a privilege. They don't have a right towards the minister. It's like a servant who is to serve his master, who is eating the same food. No master does that. I mean, no servant does that. When you go and give, man, when you prepare and you go and give to your master, you don't eat the same food. You are doing your job. Your job is to serve. So even though they minister it, they don't yet have the privilege, that Peter tells us that the things into which angels desire to look into. He now said these things are now commonly reported among you. Hallelujah. Now, shouldn't we give glory to God for that? He said, these things are now commonly reported among you by them that have preached the gospel to you. Which things angels desire to consider. They just wish that they can have the privilege of looking into this thing and comprehend what is this salvation all about. Amen. You know, Pastor Vele was teaching us on Sunday that Satan doesn't know all about you. And that he doesn't have all the information, and that is correct. And now we don't know how many years Satan stood ministering to God. We don't know for how long. He was one of the closest angels to God, at least from we know. Hallelujah. He had he had a high level of relationship. He handled a lot of responsibility. He was full of wisdom. And in the peak of it, even the counsel of God, the beginning of the counsel of God as pertaining to salvation, he did not even know. Because he took the Lord of glory and nailed him to the cross and doomed himself. Hello? So you think that even those angels, you think they are aware? Even if they are looking and they are wondering, what is he really doing? Of course, that doesn't mean they don't have a level of information as pertains to that. But I'm just trying to show us that what I'm saying all of this is that even the angels, as close and as privileged they are, there are certain things as touching this salvation that they are not aware of. So Moses, in all, with privilege, he yet did not see the face of God. Hallelujah. But we are coming to the New Testament. But like I said, when we come into the New Testament, we discover that there are a lot of realities that we are coming to, but there are still many things that we are still trying to grasp. There are still many things we are still trying to lay our hands upon. When you look at scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Before we go to 1 Corinthians 13, you will discover that the essence of God, I mean, where God really wants to bring us to, is a place where we can... Sorry, before I go to that, let me remind us. I wanted to talk about what it means to speak, that God spoke with Moses face to face. Now, we look then that it meant that God had a direct communication with Moses And God spoke with Moses plainly. In plain language. No riddles. No parables. That was what God was saying when he said, I spoke with Moses face to face. Meaning, Moses was a prophet that had an access to God that had no in-between. That's a direct communication line. God didn't have to send any. Aaron listened to Moses to speak to Israel. Aaron listened to Moses to speak to Israel. And of course, it was not as if Aaron didn't hear God also. You know, there was a point they came and they were telling Moses that, is it only you that hear God? Are you the only prophet? You are not the only prophet. God told in that number 12, he now said, you guys, better know your place. I communicated with you in visions and dreams, but Moses, I speak to him face to face, meaning that I don't need to operate an intermediary between myself and him. And two, I speak to him plainly. I speak to him in such a way that he can understand. Hallelujah. I speak to him in such a way that it's not in riddles. And so, where God, and you discover that is also the intention of God for us, even in the New Testament. Because let's say the truth. Many times, even when you still carry the Bible, sometimes you look at the Bible, what does it look like to you? It's like, this book, which book? What is this book says? This book. The reason why some of us don't study the Bible is because we don't understand it. You've tried. Just when I come to church, whatever they tell me, I will take. Because you've tried. What are they saying here? Yes, princess. Hallelujah. So what are they saying here? Because even as New Testament believers, we see like these things are closed. Hallelujah. But we know that the real intention of God is not for you to be like that. John, before Jesus left, John chapter 16. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 25. John 16, 25. These things have I spoken unto you, what? In Proverbs. But the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of what? The Father. Meaning that the knowledge of the Father is going to become a public matter. It's not just going to be something that is restricted. It's going to come to the plain. It's going to come to the open. But Itato, I have spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time is coming when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Verse 26. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. He said, and that is what this revelation is going to back. Now, why? Because you have access to the knowledge of the Father. It will not be a matter of me praying for you. You will ask the Father in my name. Breaking that intermediary thing. Hallelujah. So we know that this is the ultimate intention of God. But we know that in the flesh, we cannot achieve these things. Of course, we are journeying. It's getting better day by day. It's getting better day by day. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see what Paul was saying? And I don't think Paul wrote this thing when he was... First John 13 verse 8. Give us new KJV. So that we have love, not charity. First Corinth, give us love, please. New KJV. You don't have it. First Corinthians 13. No new KJV. Okay. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will what? Whether there are tongues, they will what? Whether there is knowledge, it will what? Vanish away. Yes? For we know in part, and we do what? We prophesy what? In part, yes? But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away, yes? When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly. I see that. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then what? Face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I'm what? I'm known. Now, this is beyond Moses' experience. Let's even assume the first part. He says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face what? To face. Now, dimly, that word dimly means puzzles. That means we see in puzzles. We see in puzzles. That the way this thing comes to us too, we need to break through them. They are not things that come clear. Just like that. He said, now, but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now, the way God knew Moses, Moses didn't know God that way. Hallelujah. Now, can you imagine that? But Paul is saying that God is bringing us to an experience where we are not just going to have a direct communication with him. We are not just going to have him speak to us plainly. We are going to come into the real, knowing that as he knows us, we also will come to what? To know him. Hallelujah. That's true. Everyone has come down indeed. It's now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. These things talk about the peak of our spiritual experiences. Because the only way we can know him is to see him as he is. Hallelujah. Is to work. Is to see him as he is. Because it is as we see that we change. Is that not so? Is that 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 18? We are beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord. Have been changed in the same image, you know, as from glory to glory. So that means our seeing is very, very pivotal to this thing. If we cannot come into this experience of saying that we will know as we are known until we come to that dimension where we are able to see him just as he is. Now, my point, what I'm saying is that it is possible for even people to come, now, as it was with Moses, that even though Moses had a direct communication line with God, and God communicated with Moses in a plain language, yet Moses did not come to comprehend the call of God. So I can say that I know God. That God speaks to me directly and God talks to me clearly. But that does not mean that his face is made known to me. That's what I'm trying to say. That even in that same environment, you don't know how far the most holy place is. You can be the most holy place and not in God. Amen. Yes. If you step into this hall, if you are at the door, are you not in this church? Are you here? Is there not? You don't understand what? You don't understand that. You can be there and not here. Even when you in the Garden of Eden, God planted many trees, but in the midst of the garden, you can say I'm fellowshipping in the garden. But the question is that there are many things there to fellowship with. Amen. Adam did not die until he ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he has been there. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is that we can talk of experiences we have. We can come into certain clarity and understanding. We can come to a place where God speaks to us and it's clear. But the truth is that does not mean that we are coming to the ultimate of that experience. We must press on. Now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in power, but then shall I live as also I am known. And now I abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, why did Paul now bring the issue of love into this matter? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's quickly check something there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 1. Hi, and hi, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, the word testimony is the Greek word mysterion, which means secret, mystery. I don't know why they decided to translate it as testimony here. Is there any version that calls it mystery? Do you have any version there that call it mystery? Check one or two other versions. Let's see what they call it. Quickly, check what. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaim to you the testimony and evidence or mystery. Can you see that? Or mystery and secret of God. So what Paul came to declare to the Corinthian church was God's testimony, was God's secret. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How be it? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. We speak wisdom among them that are mature. Now, there are certain things that, well, of course, these things we really need to check well and really consider God giving us eyes. Because that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that says that now we prophesy in part, now, we have to really watch it, that then, what does then mean? Is then talking about after this dimension, or a reality that we can come into in this dimension? I'm not solving that redo. I just want to post it that, because everything we are pushed to after now, everything is after rapture has taken place. But looking at this again may not necessarily mean so. I'm not saying that it is before, it is after or now. I'm just saying that we need to critically look into this reality and say that, is this really something that is not within the frame of our time? That's something that we have to be later? Because it was comparing something there. He said, when I was a child, I speak like a child. I understood like a child. I thought like a child. He said, but when I became what? A man. I put away what? Childish things. Meaning that when I come, he was also talking about, take it a verse before. Let me see what a verse before. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be what? Done away. Hallelujah. The word perfect there is actually the word that talks about maturity. It's the word that talks about maturity. That is when, but that which is perfect, that which is full grown, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. But I want to just leave that through that. Let's look at these things again and really check it, that is this something that is within our time frame, or something we should, okay, blessed be the Lord, let's ask, when he appears in his glory, we are going to see that. Amen. But that aside, amen. So I was showing, so in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of what? Of glory. The princes of this world, I don't think those are earthly men. Those are earthly people. Talks about principalities. It talks about people that custodes the darkness of this present time. Hallelujah. Because the things that happened to Jesus was more than what the Jews did. Amen. It was more than the Jews. Satan was behind all those things. It was more than the Jews. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But that's not even the issue. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep of what? Of God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read it through. And for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, Paul began to talk about discussing wisdom among them that are mature. What is the essence of this wisdom? He said, this wisdom God has ordained for our glory. He now said, verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor yet heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I want to just show us something. While we are journeying to a place where we... Now, you know that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about we prophesying, we knowing in part, we prophesying in part. And then he said, at a point, those two operations will not be needed. At a time, there will be no need for knowing. There will be no need for prophesying. Why? Because we have come to a place where we do what? We see him what? Face to face. When I'm talking with my dad, I don't need a go-between. A prophet is an anointed spokesman of God. Hallelujah. A prophet is somebody that stands to speak to people on behalf of God. God communicates to him, then he comes to the people and communicates to them. He's an intermediary. And when we're explaining what face-to-face meant, we said that God didn't need anybody to stand between him and Moses. Moses had a direct link with God. And then prophecy also is necessary. Why? Because we cannot communicate, how do I put this, at the level of communication of God. I'm trying to find a way to express it. Now, look at this. In 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul was talking about speaking in tongues, he said that speaking in an unknown tongue, speaking not unto men, but unto God. For no man does what? Understand him. Albeit in the spirit, he does what? He speaketh what? Mysteries. He now says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my mind, my understanding is unfruitful. My mind is unfruitful. I'm doing something. My spirit is having a communication that my mind cannot come to. So when a prophet comes, a prophet is coming to help my mind, because a prophet speaks to the church to edify the church. If I speak in an own tongue, I understand myself. It doesn't need for me to understand my mind to come into the reality. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So So it means that if my mind can resonate at the frequency of my spirit, then prophecy is not needed. If my mind can come to that place that my spirit is standing, and it can fellowship on that level, I don't need prophecy. I don't even need interpretation of tongues. What is interpretation of tongues? Is it not somebody coming to communicate divine mysteries in a language that you can understand? But if I that is speaking that language, my mind can come there and pick what I'm saying. When I'm speaking Yoruba, I don't need somebody to interpret Yoruba for me, because that is my natural language. It's my flow. So if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. It means that my spirit can operate with God on that plane, but my mind cannot. So there is need for prophecy. Because Egin told us that he that speaketh in tongues and interpret is the same as he that prophesies. I mean, prophecy and interpretation of tongues are almost more or less the same thing. That is the same. So that means that if my mind can operate in that level, I don't need prophecy. I don't need to understand what I'm saying. So we know that at a point, even from 1 Corinthians 13, we prophesy, we know in part, and we do what? We prophesy in part. So we don't always need that medium to stand between us and God. Why? Because like Moses stood, we have a direct communication with God. Not just in prayer, but in him speaking to us. Not just in what? In prayer, but in him what? Speaking to. But now we still need it. We have to prophesy, because we are not yet there. Amen. We have to interpret tongues. Why? Because we are not what? We are not yet there. We've not come into that experience. We may only talk about this, but we've not been there. Especially in our experience, we are not yet there. So we must prophesy, and we must know. Now, but when we come to that dimension where we don't need all those things, yes, then we cannot move away, because now we come to a place where God communicates to us. We can pick his speakings with that. Why? Because it's like it's just our natural flow. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. See, revelation and knowledge are not the same thing. Revelations and knowledge are not the same. He said, God has revealed them to us by what? By spirit. Don't forget that most of the time, the vehicles of revelations, of course, it's not all the time, but most of the time, the vehicles of revelations are visions, dreams. What does that mean? The revelations, most of the time, still come in what? In riddles. The things Paul wrote to us, he didn't write them as he got them. The things that God revealed to Paul, if he had written them as he got them, we will have more issues with the scriptures. If I should be like, in fact, there's no, it is Old Testament too. I don't think that's what I'm saying. Because the New Testament is an interpretation of prophecies. What Paul simply wrote was to interpret Isaiah. Amen. I don't know if you understand that. What Paul wrote was to interpret what? Isaiah. So if, like Pastor Isha will tell us that, if a confirmed prophet, you won't just talk, it's not every time you talk as just here. Because there is something God shows you, you need wisdom to step it down to relate those messages. That was why when Paul said the revelation, what was the next thing he began to talk about? He started talking about wisdom. Why? Because the wisdom is actually the key to unlock the revelation. When the revelation comes, God gave them wisdom. He said, these things we teach. Look at it now. Which is also we do what? We speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with what? So we did not speak the raw material that they gave came to us. We speak them with the wisdom that only God gave us. Only God supplied us with a wisdom so that we can bring those things to us. So we know in part and we prophesy in part. And that is why spirit of wisdom and revelation always work together. That's why it's a pair. Because most times when revelation comes, they always come like that. They come. They occur there and then you like, if you just take them like that and you want to run with them, you cause problem. So wisdom comes to unlock those things. So it is by the instrument of wisdom that we are able to really get the core of what God brings to us through revelation. And most times, of course, you know, revelation is prophetic. It's prophetic. So we prophesy, so we know in part, that aspect of knowing is that aspect whereby wisdom we discern. Is there. Look at that verse. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. Meaning that those things that come needs to be investigated. There are two things, though. See, all these things in the science is just God helping men and trying to interpret spiritual things to earthly men. He said, a natural man cannot do what? Receive what? Neither can he do what? Know them. You don't get it. Where is it? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he do what? Know them. Because they are what? So, there is difference between receiving them and knowing them. Of course, I have concert in my house. You see, this thing works on this principle. Without a decoder, if they should show us what the dish is receiving, so I'm not. I think maybe it should just be in. It said zeros and ones. You can't. It doesn't make meaning. But what is the purpose of the decoder? That's where the whole thing is, and then it brings it. It processes it and brings it out in what you see. So there is also a receiving and a decoding. It's the same principle. We are just looking into it. He said, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are what? They are foolishness. He said, neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. It takes spiritual men, people that have the spirit of wisdom, to be able to investigate and look into these things and be able to say, this is what God is saying. And even though Paul says all of these things are still not the real thing. But these things are still not the real thing. But see, as I close, he talks about spiritual men. See, there's a delusion I want us to be careful of. The hallmark of spirituality is not in knowledge. When I mean knowledge, I'm not talking about a pig gnosis. Because most times what people celebrate is what they know in their head. Not what they have and do. That we say internalize. Knowledge that is not separate from me. That's what we are talking about. Knowledge that is not what? Separate from me. Not just something that I know that I can teach. I know all I need to teach this evening, if I don't even know anything to teach, all I need is to pick a tape and sit down and listen. And listen and listen, and then I'll come and pour it out. Do you understand? It's not, of course, though it's not easy to preach. Hallelujah. It's not easy. It's a great work. It's a great work. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying in essence is this, that I lost my thoughts. Okay, so that the unmatched, so let us not fall into a delusion of thinking that we are spiritual because we know certain things. That is why it's what Paul was teaching us in 1 Corinthians 13 is that nature is greater than gifts. Love is a nature. A prophet is only using an equipment. You are a prophet. Listen, of course, a prophet is not just somebody who has gifts. A prophet is, there is a form of a prophet. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he cannot prophesy by nature because he has to be anointed. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not every good person that prophesies. Amen. If you don't have eyes, you can't see. Amen. Not because you're a human being. Hallelujah. If you don't have eyes, you can't what? So if they don't give you eyes, you can't see. God knows that I desire these prophesies. But I only prophesy to myself and my family. Amen. And I think that one is good enough. It's good enough for me. Amen. If they now say, well, maybe there is need for that. I just say, once in a while, just let this thing. Hallelujah. You know, prophets are honorable people. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right. So, as I close. So, let's not be deceived to think that we are spiritual because you can find a handful of things you can teach people. Why you are still envious? Why you are still malicious? Why you still backbite? It's a lie. The hallmark of spirituality is love work. The hallmark of spirituality is what? Is love walk. What Paul was saying is, listen, by prophetic giftings and even by great wisdom such that we can discern spiritual things, we won't go beyond that realm. We will not be able to cross over to the dimension where we can have a face-to-face level of walk with God if we are not walking in what? In love. What is this mystery said? Is it not Christ? Hallelujah. Let me round up. I know if I have to round up. Hallelujah. Let me not say because Pastor is not around. Sir, I'm not taking you for granted, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Can we pray for Pastor Oge again that the Lord God of heaven will continue to reframe him. God will reframe him. I'm asking God to reframe you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a frame that God wants you to come into. I received that while I was sitting down there. The frame where you speak to the heart, where you speak to the world. Platform will be set before you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to be localized. It's not a local thing. It's It's an earthly thing. It will make a way. It will make a way. It will make a way. There's going to be a reframing. It will reframe you. There's going to be a reframe. It will reframe you. God will reframe you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will bring you into the mode that He has prepared for you. There's a platform for you. There's a place in God. There's a place in God. You will arrive. You will get there. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. I don't know what to say. Praise God. But we must not forget that the hallmark of spirituality is love work. It's love work. And of course, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that he was talking about level of growth and maturity. So there is what we call future in the time frame of man, which is not future unto God. The Bible says that, but faith is now. Faith is what? Is now. It's not futuristic. Faith is now. Can you give me that book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13? I think where he was talking about, what is he talking about? Go up. Not verse 8. Go to verse 8. No. Go to verse lower, not verse 13. Sorry, let me get my scripture. Because we really need to understand this thing. Now, I understand what God was saying, indicating across to Moses. And thank God for the spirit of wisdom, because it takes a lot of spiritual...
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.